Well, I'm going to continue. I was putting some thoughts together about what to share today. And I came in and I was just, I wanted to put another scripture or two in my notes. And as I was sitting there, man, I mean, I've been putting some thoughts together in putting a book together, writing a book. And I'm sitting there, and this morning, as I'm sitting at my computer terminal, I mean, all of this that I've been confessing. Remember we said, what are you confessing? Double the wisdom. Double the anointing. I'll read it again so you can hear it again. Double the wisdom, double the anointing, double the knowledge of the Word of God, double the finances. I'm walking in double. How about you? You walking in double? I'm walking in double. Because he said it was okay for us to believe for it. And as the leadership and the members follow, it's to them too. So you need to start saying, I'm walking in double. I'm walking in double the wisdom. I'm walking in double his anointing. I'm walking in double the finances. I'm walking in double the knowledge of the Word of God. I'm walking in double. Double. And it'll be a witness for people that will come to this church that they'll see, I want that. I want what they're doing. But how did you get to that place? You had to believe it and receive it and say it. I'm walking in double. And stop trying to figure out the how part. That's God's part. So as I was just sitting there this morning, just for a few minutes, all of these thoughts started coming and I'm typing away. And so anyways, this morning, I want to continue on this theme of the voice of faith in this series of messages, but this thought came up as I was sitting there, and this is the title of the message today, Voice Activated. Voice Activated. And the Holy Ghost was saying to me, and I said, you know, sometimes we live in our life, our convenience-filled life today. And so much today is what? Say it for me. Thank you, students. So much of what we have. This little thing here, if I talk too loud, it'll say, what did you say? Say that again. And I'll go, be quiet. So our watches are voice activated. Our phones are voice activated. Our TVs are voice activated. I mean, how much more have we got, you know, that's voice activated? You know, my phone talks to me. I talk to my phone. They go, boy, what's wrong with him? You know, you see people walking down the street, and I know they got earbuds in, but they're talking. And you go, who are they talking to? Nobody around. They're having a conversation. Now, I mean, you don't even type anymore. I mean, if I want to send a text, you hit Siri. Siri's voice it in. It's voice activated. And then everything today is artificial intelligence. AI, that's the big deal now, right? Well, that's been on for a while. I mean, just think about it. I mean, when I go places, I don't have one in the home. It's not that I don't want one. I just wasn't led to have it. And now the more I read, it's watching you. Now you've got Alexa. Now Alexa, if for those that don't know it, Alexa is just the service. It's the AI service. But what's the physical device? It's called Echo, right? So Echo is the physical gadget, but Alexa is the service, the AI service. So what do? You talk to it. I mean, when I go to my sister's, you know, my mom living there, we say, Alexa, play some music. So what am I saying? Everything is what? Voice activated. Oh, so you don't want to speak the word of God? Why not? You're speaking to a phone, and you have to use certain commands. Oh, so do we with the word of God. And God said, when you speak, I watch over my word to make it come to pass. Oh, how good is that? So all I'm sharing is that in this feature-filled life that we live, right, with stuff, I mean, why can't we speak to things? We're made in the image and likeness of God. We create with our words. I'm not saying don't use. I like the stuff we have. I like being able to speak to something and not have to do something. I mean, that's a benefit. How much more that God's, we're just reading it, God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. My goodness. So for us, it's something that we need to keep in mind, you know, the revelation. And that's why I'm so thankful for Brother Hagin that shared some of these revelations that he experienced in life from the Word of God, sharing it for us so that we don't have to bump through life. We should, every one of us in here, should do more than what Clinton and Sarah did. There's no excuse. Because you know more in some ways, the revelation they were sharing, we've gone further. We're growing in wisdom and revelation, even in this area of speaking. I'm telling you the truth. So we shouldn't bump through some things and make mistakes. In other words, you have to develop it. You have to develop this area in your life. It's not just going to come and, you know, everything that you do that you get good at, did you just wake up one morning and you were good at it? No, you had to work at it and you had to develop that. It's no different with the Word of God. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to miss it. But it's you do what? You pursue it and say, God said I can have this. God said if I speak and I will have what I say, then that needs to be developed. It needs to be worked on. And don't just give in and say, well, I didn't see it come to pass. Well, then you're calling God a liar. It's like what Leanne said when she said, I don't know you. You know, it says, you know, you know my voice. And she said, I don't know you. And he said, you're calling me a liar because I said you do. And she had to go back and change what she was saying with her mouth. Because she was saying what she was experiencing, not what she expected. And so we need to do the same thing and keep that in mind, that we need to voice what we expect. So Hebrews 11:6, very familiar. It's without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that is the King James, for he that, what, cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is, what, a rewarder of those that, what, diligently seek him. So you've got to diligently pursue him. You've got to go after the things of God. And it takes time, just like you got good at anything. there was effort, there was struggle, there were mistakes, and you kept pursuing it. Why? Because you wanted it. And you didn't give in until you got it. And you kept working at it and working at it. And you got there over time. And it's the same thing with the things of God. And that is more sure than those things that you pursued. It's real. It's alive. His word is what? Spirit and life. And the things of God are real. Romans 10:17 was looking at this. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the rhema, or the revelation of God's word. But this word faith, so then faith cometh. This word faith means persuasion. So the more you hear the word of God, it has the power within it to cause you to be what? Persuaded. I'm persuaded that I'm healed. I'm persuaded that I'm successful. I'm persuaded that the wisdom of God is working in me. I'm persuaded that I'm anointed. And how does that come? Not hoping and a praying. Not, will you pray with me so I get more wisdom? Well, we can, but faith will come into your heart so that you're persuaded that you have something. Something that you don't see yet or experience. Because faith, or this persuasion, comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And so hearing, and by hearing also is, there must be you doing what? When faith comes, or the persuasion comes in your heart, then there has to be an activation of it to make it become a reality. It has to be, help me class, has to be what? It has to be voice activated. Thank you very much for those voice activations. So you can't just be persuaded, because I guarantee you, every one of you in here that is persuaded about something, whatever it is, you're going to tell me. You're going to voice it. So you know what that tells me? If I'm not persuaded about something, that means I need to, what? Listen to the word of God more. Because persuasion and assurance comes into my heart by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And the more you voice activate it, the more persuaded you become. That's why, just in the natural, when people tell a lie so much, they become persuaded of it. Because they hear themselves say it, and then they begin to believe it. So the principle's there, that if I listen to the word of God and I hear it, and I hear it, and I hear it, I become persuaded of it, because it's the power of God. And the power of God gets released in me when I hear it. But when it comes, when that persuasion comes, when that faith comes, and I'm persuaded of something, then I need to voice activate it. I need to say, I have this. I have it. Now, if you're not hearing, well, I'll say it this way. I was reading this recently in, I believe it was faith food, which I read every day, faith food and health food from the Kenneth Hagin Ministry. And it will be good, you know. I don't have to ask them for it. They send it to me, right? It's an email you get. You just sign up for it. And I read it every day. It feeds my faith, feeds my spirit. Now, that, one of these, for 2 or 3 days, it was sharing the story about Lillian B. Yeomans, who was back in the 30s. She was a doctor, I think, in New York City. She was from Canada. She came, she was a doctor, a medical doctor in New York City. She got addicted to pain meds. It doesn't really matter what, but she got addicted to it. And so, you know, it began to affect her. And then she began to hear about, you know, somebody started sharing the word of God in this area of healing and deliverance. And she just said, well, I need to get right with God. And I believe, you know, she took hold of that, believed it, got set free from that, and then opened her home with her sister. They opened her home as a healing center and would just take in a handful of people into their home and help them, you know, in this area of healing. And at that time, the scourge, because they hadn't developed some of the vaccines and medicines that we have today, at that time, tuberculosis or TB was killing people. And so what they would do is they'd have this long waiting list, and either the person was healed and then a bed would open up, or they expired, they passed away and the bed would open up. So this one person came in, and the story goes that she has a little book. You can get it on Amazon or whatever. It's her little book about these stories. And she said the woman was in her bed, and she said Mrs. Yeomans came and just sat for an hour and a half and 2 hours and just read the scriptures. See, that's why I say sometimes we're in too much of a hurry. The person in the bed wasn't going anywhere. They were on their deathbed. And she just read the scriptures to her. Faith cometh by hearing. Persuasion comes by hearing. And so she kept reading that 2-3 hours. She said, when she left the room, she said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to make this confession. She made a little confession with Galatians 3:13, 1 Peter 2:24, Deuteronomy 28. And she had her confess this. And she said, I want you to say this during your waking moments, all during your waking moments. Just say it. So she left her and came back the next day. She said, have you been doing that? Yep, I've been confessing this. And the woman said, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I really don't understand all of this. I don't understand. She said, that's okay. Just keep saying it. Just keep saying it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She was confessing the word of God, and the power of God is in the word of God, and she kept saying it. She was hearing herself say it. Well, faith wasn't there yet, but she kept saying it. She said, yeah, I've been saying it, said it all night long, said it thousands of times. She said, that's good. So she read the scriptures to her for another couple of hours. She left the room, and another day went by. So this is the third day now. And she went up, she said, how you doing? You know, you've been confessing this? Yep, all night. And so she left the room and she went down into the kitchen with her sister, cleaning up the kitchen. And she said, they heard this screaming at the top of your lungs. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And all this ruckus, and this lady comes running down the stairs. Do you know that I'm healed? And they said, yeah, we've been trying to tell you for the last 3 days. What happened? Persuasion came. She was persuaded that she was healed. And she began to do what? Voice it. But up to that point, all she was saying was, I don't understand this. I really don't. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't see it. And she said, that's okay. Just keep making this confession. Keep voicing it. Keep saying it. And faith will come. Persuasion will come. And this is where Brother Hagin, when he was alive, said when the Holy Spirit revealed to him Mark 11:23. Why don't we turn over there and look at that? Because if you look at that particular scripture in the King James, says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever what shall what say, so that means whosoever, that means anyone, shall say, that means I got to say something, unto what? Unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe that those things that he saith, or says, that's the second say, shall come to pass. So you believe the things that you say shall what? Come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. So as the Spirit of God revealed to him, he said, if you'll notice in that scripture verse, there's only the word believe is mentioned once, but the word say or some form of say is mentioned three times. And he said, the Spirit of God said to him, you're going to have to teach three times as much on the saying part of faith than the believing part. Because he said, my people have been taught to believe. They believe, but they're not saying what they believe. They're saying their circumstance. They're talking about their problem. So they have doubt in their heart. They're not persuaded. So whenever we find ourselves that we're not persuaded of something, then that's what? That's like a person who's working at something and they say, I need a little more work at this. And they know it. They're honest about it. They assess, they examine themselves and they go, you know what? I'm not measuring up in this area, so I need to work at this a little more. Isn't that true? So it's no different in this area. If we're not fully persuaded of something, then you need to keep hearing. Get the word of God out and make professions of faith when you don't believe. Because believing will come as you confess the word of God. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it may not make sense to us, but that's how God has set it up. He said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if I put the word of God in my mouth and speak it, I'm sowing seed into my spirit, and faith will come. What does Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Let's look at that in the King James. And I like some of these other translations of it. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, for I am not what? Ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to what? Everyone that believeth. And if you believe it, you're going to say it. Hallelujah. Now listen, this is two different translations. This is the Good News translation. And I believe they'll put this up so you can see it. It says, I have complete confidence in the gospel. It is God's power to save all who believe, first the Jews and also the Gentiles. I have what? Complete confidence in the gospel. Well, if we don't have complete confidence, keep saying, keep hearing, keep listening, keep speaking. If you don't see your bank accounts full and you're sowing, keep speaking, keep speaking, keep speaking, keep speaking, and you shall have what you say. If your body isn't walking in all the health you think it should, keep speaking, keep speaking, keep speaking, and you'll have it. You will have what you say. If you keep talking about, oh, I'm so weak, I'm so tired, you will have what you say. Even though you may believe and say, well, I believe God will heal my body, and then you turn around and say something else, you're going to have what you say, not what you believe. Does everybody get that? I'm going to say it again. You will have what you say, not what you believe, because you're saying something different than what you believe. Here's another translation. I like this. This is the Johnson paraphrase. Oh boy. You need to write this down. I may put these notes out next week because I tell you to feed on them. It says, I am confident that the good news will release God's dynamic energy, which makes all persons whole. Oh, yes, sir. I am confident that the good news will release God's dynamic energy, which makes all persons whole. Then I need to speak the word, and it does what? It releases the power of God. It has to be voice activated. When I voice it, it releases the power of God into my life, into my situation. That's what we do. We speak to the mountain, command it to be moved and cast into the sea. And when I speak, it does what? It releases the power of God. To do what? Change it. Hallelujah. Think about this here in a minute, for a second here. Ephesians chapter 1, and we know Paul here in verse 19 in the King James, and then we'll look at it in the Bible in basic English. But Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, we know Paul here is praying to the church or for the church of Ephesus. And I'm just going to look at verse 19. It says, and what is the exceeding? Now, he's talking about here, he's praying that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, and that they would what? Know what is the hope of their calling or his calling, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? That's miracle working power. That's the word dunamis. It means miracle working power. That we would know it. And it says to what? To usward who what? Believe. according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. We should be what? Knowing that. And so that's why when we start talking about, I'm walking in double knowing that. And we should. We should be walking miracle working power centers, each one of us. When I walk into a situation, the miracle working power of God has just shown up. We need to think like that and do what? Talk like it. Because a lot of us, in certain areas, it's being developed. Why don't we think like that? We're not persuaded. We're just looking at ourselves. We're not thinking about who's in us. When you're persuaded, you talk like it. You think like it. So it's not to put any of us in any kind of a box. It's just to say, or to chastise anyone. I mean, if anyone, I look at myself and I go, have I reached that? No, not yet. But I keep feeding to what? Become more persuaded. Become more persuaded that I'm walking in it. Hallelujah. I think sometimes we think, well, God's just going to drop something on me. You know, a lot of times when hands are laid on you, I'm going to go and put Deacon Renee on the spot. Hands were laid upon her, but she had to do what? She had to believe that the person laying hands on her was going to impart something, and then she had to believe what? She received it. And then had to talk like she received it. She had to say, I got it. I got the healing power in me, and it's doing what? It's driving out these symptoms in my body. I believe they're driving out, they're going, they're leaving. Well, she had to believe. It's the same thing where walking in what? And the exceeding greatness of his power, we have to become persuaded of that. How do we become persuaded? We keep feeding on it. Listen to this. This is the Bible in basic English. Ephesians 1:19. And how unlimited is his power to us who have faith, as is seen in the working of the strength of his power. So we have unlimited power that has come into us. Why? Because we believe. So we're not limited, are we? We limit ourselves by what we say. Hallelujah. So faith has to be voice activated. The power of God is activated by what? Our believing and our speaking. Our believing and speaking. You know, I was reading something recently. Again, I think it was Faith Food or Health Food. I don't remember which one. It was about a week or so ago. And Brother Hagin was sharing this story in his daily devotional about how he was at a church ministering. He had already ministered. He was back in the pastor's office or study, and he was there with the pastor and another pastor or two. And there was a knock on the door. And this couple came and had brought their child. And at that time, they had polio, so they had braces on. And they were carrying the child. And so they were sharing some things about you know, would you pray for him? And he said, yes. And so he relayed this story. He said, I never felt so dry, so unanointed as I was when they asked me to pray. That's what he said. He said, I never felt so dry, so unanointed, so this and that. He was explaining how he felt when they came to be prayed for. But he believed what the Holy Ghost told him, and he also believed what Jesus had done when he said he appeared to him, put the finger of his right hand in both his hands and said, you know, that when you I'm giving you a special anointing. So it wasn't about how he felt, it's what he believed. And he believed that that exceeding power was there available to him. So this couple came and they wanted to pray, and he said, okay, I'll pray and get an agreement with you and pray. And he said, after he prayed, they left, and he said, no change. And I think he said there was a short time after, whether it was a day or two or three, and that all those symptoms left in the child. Everything left. And so it isn't about what we feel. It's about what we're persuaded of. It's what am I persuaded of? Am I persuaded of my circumstance, or am I persuaded of the Word of God? Because we all are going to face circumstances. We hear them this morning in the testimonies. You're going to face, everyone's a little different. You know, I'm just thinking, you know, when I was up in Pennsylvania, this was back in the beginning of December, and I'm on this extension ladder. I'm up about 12 feet, and the ladder did one of these slip, and I'm floating through the air, hit the concrete or the blacktop, and, you know, they had to take me to the emergency room. And so I fell from, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 feet. It was a hard smack. And so, you know, they do all that they do, all the tests. They put you through the tube and the MRI and na-na-na-na-na-na-na. But as I was laying in the emergency room, I heard in my heart, this is why you got to know his voice. He said, quick recovery, no permanent damage. Okay. So I'm at peace. And I whacked my head. I mean, it was a hard hit. So anyways, when I'm in there, they said, you got a headache? Nope, don't have a headache. You want any of this? Nope, I'm good. Feel good. And I really didn't. I didn't have a headache. And so after they took all of these x-rays, they said, well, we're going to have to send you to a trauma center based on what we see. Okay, I'm at peace. Can I get out of bed? I need to use the restroom. Okay. So I go, and then they transfer me to this trauma center up in Allentown. Go through all of that. I was there overnight, came out the next day, came home. So when I drove back up, because Pastor Greg was going through something, he was going to drive me up there to Allentown from here. And I said, I'm cool, I'm good, I can drive. So I drove, what is a couple hundred miles up, drive up. I went first day to see the plastic surgeon. They go, nah, you're good, you don't need anything. Second day, I go to the oral surgeon because they want to look. This is the first thing. They wanted to do a head scan again. This is why I'm telling you, it's important what you say. They did the head scan. The first words out of this oral surgeon's mouth was, this is the way he expressed it. He said, wow, you look good. Now, he wasn't talking about the outside. He's looking at the x-ray. He said, you look good. He said, this looks nothing like what I saw from the hospital. That was less than a week, 5-6 days. So what I'm saying is, I don't care what it looked like. I'm saying what I expect. And so that's what I'm saying, that we need to voice activate the things that we face in life. It doesn't mean that you don't go to doctors. It doesn't mean that you don't even take medicine. If you need to take it, take it. Medicine can't heal you. It helps control symptoms. So maybe you need to do that, but you keep doing what? Sowing the word. Keep getting it in your spirit till you're so persuaded that now you're doing what? I'm healed. I'm delivered. Your body will tell you, you know what? You don't need this anymore. You don't need this medicine. You don't need this brace. You don't need this anymore. Because if you're taking something your body doesn't need, it'll tell you. So you don't need to be doing this, flushing your stuff down the toilet and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. If you need to take the medicine, take the medicine. Until such time as you're persuaded, but keep speaking the word. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. You know, I'm talking about these kind of things even from a health standpoint, but you could be sitting in here, maybe you're at the age, maybe you have children that are at the age of maybe they have to make a decision to go to college. They need to be saying, I'm going to, see, this is what parents should be doing, sharing these principles with children growing up so they don't have to wrestle with these decisions. Put your trust in God. God's word will work if you activate it, if you speak it, and you say, I'm going to this college. I'm going there. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have this in life. Because this is Joshua 1:8. Let not this book of the law depart out of thy mouth, but meditate therein day and night and observe to do it, and you'll make your way prosperous. Hallelujah. I want to look at a couple of things here. John, this is what we're talking about, John 15, verse 5 and verse 7. John 15, verse 5, and King James says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 7, if you abide in me, and his words abide in you, you shall what? Ask. See, there you go. There's the saying part. There's the voice activating. You've got to ask what it is that it says, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Keep the word of God in you. And that word ask means to require, demand. So in other words, I'm not demanding of God. I'm making a demand on my covenant. I'm speaking the word of God. Matthew, I want to look at this here. Matthew 16 and verse 18 and 19 in the Passion Translation. Always remember what we've been sharing this morning. You release the ability of God by speaking God's word. You release him, you release his ability, his power when you speak the word of God. The word of God has within it, the word of God is the seed. Think about it. If you want to know what a farmer expects, It's in the seed that he plants. In the seed is the harvest. In the seed, it has the ability to produce a harvest. It has the ability to produce what that seed represents. And so it's the same with God's word. His word has the ability to produce what he said it would. And then what's the benefit? He watches over it to make it come to pass. So Matthew 16:18 in the Passion, talking, this is Jesus. And of course, he said, Peter, upon this rock, I'll build this church. And of course, in some, it says upon this revelation. But in verse 18, it says, Passion, I give you the name Peter, a stone. And this truth of who I am will be the bedrock foundation on which I will build my church. And I like this. It says, my legislative assembly. Ooh. Oh. Who are you? Who are you out here? You are his legislative assembly. What does that mean? A legislative assembly decides what things to do and not do, don't they? And that's exactly what this is saying. Continue. It says, my legislative assembly and the power of death will not be able to overpower it. Verse 19, I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven. Who is giving that? He's giving the church, the body, the keys of the kingdom to forbid on earth what's been forbidden in heaven. And then he goes on, and to what? Release on earth that which is what? Released in heaven. This here, so often when we see ministers or individuals or even yourself, when you're stirred to say something, you're doing what? You're releasing something in this earth realm. And so often this will answer the question for some that when you're persuaded, then what happens? Faith is being released. And the power of God is being released. That's why when you saw some, when you go back and you look at some of these ministers on stage, you're a minister. And faith, it says faith cometh to those that heareth. It didn't say only to a certain group. Whosoever. So what? When you see someone say, be healed, what are they doing? They're releasing what's been released. They're releasing on earth what's been released in heaven. When you begin to, what has been forbidden in heaven? Well, the devil's been forbidden in heaven. Sickness has been forbidden in heaven. Poverty's been forbidden in heaven. Hatred's been forbidden in heaven. So I can begin to do what? Forbid it. I forbid you, Satan, from touching my family. I forbid it in Jesus' name. And he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom realm. I'm giving you the authority to forbid and to release on this earth. That's why it's so important what you say. And not just play around with stuff. Because when you speak, you're either forbidding or you're allowing something. So when it's life and death. So when you say, I'm so sick or I'm so tired, you're releasing it into your life. When you say, I don't know how we're going to make it, you're releasing it into your life. You should be forbidding it. I forbid lack. I forbid sickness. I forbid weakness. That's what you release. Don't release negative in your life. Don't say what you're thinking. The thoughts are going to come. You know, we heard it today in the testimonies, all these thoughts and blah, 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 blah. I'm persuaded of the Word of God. That's what I'm going to release. Because when I release that, then I'm releasing God's ability into the middle of it. And He begins to work. Oh, yes. I hope you're getting a hold of this. Because it's helping me sharpen, you know, where I've missed some things, or I'm, you know, you're thinking and saying, no. When you get weighed down and you feel the pressure, the weight of life, begin to do what? Think about the scriptures. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And then what else does it say? Think about this. I wrote these this morning when I came in. Philippians. What does it say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 in King James? Be what? Careful, be anxious for what? Nothing. So when you're feeling pressure, it says what? Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious for that. What does it say? But in everything by prayer with supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when you do, what does it say? And the peace of God shall do what? Which passeth all understanding, shall, not maybe, shall keep your what? Your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So those thoughts will try to crowd in your mind, but you're going to have to make a decision. I'm going to release these words. I'm going to say this and not talk about the pressure and the stuff that's going on. Because you are what? Seated in heavenly places in Christ. And He's given you what? Authority to forbid and to release and allow. And what you say goes. Because He's made you in His image and likeness. He's made you God-like in the sense where what you say goes. So we don't want to be saying what we're experiencing on the negative. So think about this as we close. Now we're going a little bit extra here. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now listen to this. These are the three here this morning. I'll tell you, as they say, you got your shouting shoes on. I mean, I'm stirred up here. This is shouting. This is the love it. I love it. L-O-V-E-T-T. It says, there is no situation which can overwhelm me now. Oh, yeah. There's no situation that can overwhelm me now. Nothing. Now, this is the Barclay translation. It says, He who fills me with His dynamic power has made me able to cope with any situation. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not talking about it. I'm overcoming it. I can and I do. Hallelujah. Now, I like this. This is the Hudson, H-U-D-S-O-N, Hudson translation. It says, in him who fills me with power, I have strength for anything. I've got his strength in me, and I can handle it. What does that mean? I'm winning. I'm winning. I'm not losing. I'm winning. I'm overcoming. I'm more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Say, I'm winning. I'm winning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope you got a little something out of that. Stir your heart up a little bit and remind yourself, say, I'm voice activating the word of God. Glory to God. Every time, think about it. You know, you got a reminder here. Every time you go, Siri, da-da, remember. Oh, yeah, okay, right. I got to voice activate the word. See, if you forget, you got a reminder here. You got one of these little gadgets. Every time you voice in an email, a text, every time you voice, remember, okay, I'm giving as much time to this little gadget. I'm going to give more time, double, triple time. I'm voice activating the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. I sure don't want to stand in front of Jesus and say, man, you voice activated your whole life. Why didn't you voice activate my word? And I'd have to go, yeah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's spirit and life to our spirits. We thank you that we can do all things through you, and you're strengthening us, you're empowering us because we believe. And Father, we thank you that your power is released in our lives when we speak it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.